5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and a mom
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids.
Four.
So do your research and find what works for you.
This is where you're supposed to continue on.
Is this me? Oh.
So, hello, fellow ringleaders. Yeah. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and with me I have my scattered brain wife, Crystal.
Hello!
So, hi guys, episode 22.
And we're tired.
Surprise! So, we even took a nap today.
Yeah,
and
it's a weird twilighty day.
I never take naps.
It's so true. I never take naps either.
Like,
don't judge me.
I was just sitting there and I was like, bah. I was out really fast.
That's because we got like 4.5 hours of sleep last night.
Awesome! And mostly it's our fault.
It's true.
But we digress.
So, don't we always?
Hi guys, welcome to the Clown Car. We're happy that you are joining us today, and hopefully you are listening to the previous episodes. If not, if you're a new listener, we love you too, and keep on listening and spread the word. But let's talk about the stories of the week.
Stories of the week.
We'll soon have some sound bumpers there or something like that.
But it's pathetic.
I'll get on that, people. I'm slacking. But anyway, so it was exciting. We went on vacation.
We did. Woo! Yay.
And so we traveled just a good 6-7 hours over to San Antonio, Texas.
Woo.
Yeah. So Crystal's brother lives over there and his family, and so we wanted to go visit them, but we also wanted to go do some fun family activities. But
because seeing your family is not fun.
That's right. Never. But no. So I mean, you've all been on road trips. You've all been preparing for vacations. It never seems that like you are ever prepared 100% like the day before. It always seems like in the morning you're scrambling to put things together. Oh, bless you. Bless you.
And it feels like you're moving if you have kids going.
I know.
Why do I have 10 bags?
So we have four kids. And our minivan is always just packed full of stuff, especially if we had to bring our own bedding
and stroller and the bed thing.
And then, the pack and play for the baby. And then
snacks for everybody.
Yeah, the cooler for drinks and
extra
cold
changes
items
of clothing for the car ride.
Yeah, it's insane.
It is. It's ridiculous.
So, but one time it wasn't bad is when a friend of ours let us borrow one of their overhead, like on top of the car compartment things. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Like if you travel and you have a lot of family members in your family, I totally would.
I always thought that looked so dorky.
It does look dorky.
But you always can find your car in the parking
lot.
That's
right. You can find it. You're like, hey, there's our car.
It was awesome.
But it's just like, it was really nice because you're just like, oh, I don't have space in my car. Wait, I have all this extra space on top of my car in this torpedo on top of my car.
Except we were totally those friends.
Yeah,
we borrowed it for a weekend and gave it back 6 months later.
But they never asked for it back, and they were literally our neighbors, and they...
It was embarrassing.
But they didn't care.
I bet deep down inside they cared a little bit.
They didn't care.
Because we drive by their house every day with it on top of our car.
If they'd care, they'd say something.
You don't know women.
Well, I know men, and he didn't care.
Okay.
So
whatever.
But yeah, so
back to the vacation at hand.
Yeah, you never feel totally prepared. And even when you leave, you still have that feeling like, what did I forget?
And I did forget something.
What'd you forget?
Shoes.
Oh, that's right. You forgot.
I only packed flip-flops.
Flip-flops. Yeah. And you forgot your tennis shoes, and which she needs. she didn't need, but it would have been nice for those long days at the theme parks we were at, so.
Well, and so I felt pretty well prepared for this trip. But the morning of, at like 6 in the morning, our 3-year-old crawls in bed with us, and she's burning up. I can already feel her in bed, like.
Like, she just.
It's like sleeping with a.
She just came in, and you could just feel the heat emanating off of her body.
Yeah, and she was like, I don't feel well.
And we're like, what?
Seriously?
We're like, the day we're leaving. But did that deter us? No, we left anyway.
You're horrible. Yeah, so we threw her in the car. And then halfway through the day at the gas station, we did a potty break. And she was like, I'm going to throw up. And she did. But in the gas station, in a garbage can.
Yeah.
Not in her car. Not on her car seat.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Which has happened almost
every trip. We pack a garbage can for her to barf in.
Specifically this child. Even when she's not sick, she just seems to throw up every car trip.
Yes. But, so, that was nice. I mean, as far as being sick on a car ride, that, it wasn't too bad. And she was so sick that she slept almost
She slept like 90% of the time. And we're like, hey, that's cool.
Our kids should get sick more often.
Yeah.
So.
But yes, that was a nice little, addition to the adventure of going on vacation, which was also interesting because we were staying with Crystal's brother's family, and so we're like, oh, by the way, we're bringing this really sick kid into your house. Awesome.
Actually, we didn't tell him.
Well, we did when we got there.
When we got there, we're like, surprise!
We're like, surprise! She has a fever. Awesome. So, but it was family, so it's okay.
Yeah, they have to put up with it.
That's right. It's required.
So we get there late. And
it was like 6. It wasn't that late.
Okay, I guess that's not late. But we plan on an early morning. We're going to SeaWorld.
SeaWorld! Woo!
And so that night, the boys are all in one room, girls are in one room, and Barry and I and Lacey are in the living room.
Oh, we did forget other things.
What did we forget?
We forgot bedding for us.
Oh, yeah.
We forgot our sleeping bags.
Don't say we.
And our...
I said we needed to grab bedding.
And our... I did grab bedding for all of the children. So...
We didn't have pillows.
So we had to...
We had to sleep with pillow pets.
I stole our 3-year-old sleeping bag. And just made her sleep with her blanket and a pillow.
Kids are tough.
And she preferred that, actually, so.
I know. So, the first night that we get there, it seems good. Like, we've got a good sleeping arrangement.
Yeah, we had fun, you know, spending time with family.
But Texas time's a little ahead of what we are, or it's later there. Yeah. And so, everyone went to bed. Barry and I stayed up watching Food Network.
Woo!
And so, we finally turn off and get in bed, and it's like, 1 in the morning, Texas time.
It's like 12:30.
And then all of a sudden, my brother gets up right when we're trying to fall asleep. And he's rummaging around in the kitchen trying to be quiet. But he had to go to work early.
Because he gets up at 1 a.m. to go to work.
Yeah. And so we're like trying to sleep and we just hear this like.
He's trying to be quiet like while getting his lunch and snacks together.
I know, so we're waiting for him to leave.
And then we just start laughing at him.
I know. And then so he leaves. And Lacey keeps getting up all night because she's not feeling well.
Yeah, she ended up sleeping with us.
Yeah, right next to you. And then they have this dog. It's a big old boxer. And the dog's afraid of thunder.
And they had biggest thunder and rainstorm. Like,
it was insane.
Huge. And it like hailed really bad.
It actually scared me a little bit. That's a pretty big deal.
It was like crazy.
It was so loud that the dog like ripped out of her kennel.
She was in her kennel like with the lock. Well, not like locked in there.
It's like half locked.
But the latch was latched. And and she's like, slam, slam, slam,
yeah,
slam.
It scared me to death.
Like bursts out of her cage. And then
she just starts pacing the room.
She starts pacing around, wandering around. She's like, there's thunder! Thunder!
I know. And so we did not sleep. And then our nephew has a little bit of a sleep issue.
Well, not a sleep issue. They have a different sleep schedule.
Like, he gets up ridiculously early.
He gets up at 4 or 5 every morning.
And so at 4, and we are just barely getting back to sleep from this ridiculous thunderstorm, and I hear laughing. So I walk into the boys' room, and they already have the lights on. They woke up our baby. They're playing a video game together, and I was like, no way!
We're like, go to sleep!
Yeah, so It was just like, it was a dance. We did not sleep that night.
And then what did we do the next day?
Went to SeaWorld.
Went to SeaWorld with no sleep.
No sleep and a sick kid. We debated not going, but we already bought tickets.
We already had purchased our tickets. And if you have been to SeaWorld before, you know they're not, you know, cheap tickets.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
And so we're like, we are all going and we're going to have a good time.
I know. And we had like fever strips on our kit on Lacey, those like cooling gel packs. So she always looked like she had a big.
But like halfway through the day, she like.
No, when we first got there.
She was very perky.
We thought worst case scenario that we're hoping for is that she'll just sleep the whole time in the stroller. But as soon as we pushed into the park and she saw the flamingos, she wanted to walk.
She's like, woo, the whole day. Animals. And then towards the end of the day, she like kind of conked out.
All she wanted to see was dolphins. So we finally get to the dolphin show at like 2:30. And we sit down and they're doing this little pre-show. And I look down and she's asleep in my arms. And so she was missing the dolphins.
But
halfway through, I was like, okay, she needs to see this.
Gotta wake her up.
So I woke her up. And she sits up and she's like, I'm going to throw up. Luckily, we packed a bag.
Luckily, we packed a little Walmart bag.
So we're crammed in this whole stadium around all these people. And she's just sitting there during the show like, Ralphing. I know. And we're all just holding the bag and still watching the show.
But after she didn't really throw up. She kind of hocked up some.
Oh, don't be gross.
Stuff.
It was barf.
And then, but then she saw the dolphins and she was happy.
Yeah. But still, it was just ridiculous.
And then we saw Shamu.
I know, but...
And everyone thought that was pretty awesome.
It was like... I felt like I was trying to cover up that she was barfing, because we were around a bunch of people with little kids. So I were like, tucked under my arm, and I have the bag hidden under another arm, trying to hide it. I'm like, everyone can hear this. This is ridiculous. But, so it was an adventure.
But, eventually, like, then we ended the day, and... You know, went back to the place.
No, the ridiculous thing.
Oh, yes.
We mentioned, we put down a pretty penny to go to SeaWorld for us. We're still pretty fresh out of college, so spending that much money is a big deal for us.
Yeah.
And so we put down all this money to go see these amazing animals. And what did our kids love more than anything? Caterpillars.
It's springtime in San Antonio, so there's... caterpillars everywhere,
like
in the trees,
big furry ones.
Yeah,
they're just everywhere, all over the ground and on the trees, and our kids, like, we were rushing to get to the Shamu show, and we're like, guys, come on, and they all stop and they're like, a caterpillar, and I was like, a killer whale.
Or when we saw the alligator pond area, and there's like a dozen alligators,
and they're super close,
like,
to where you're standing,
just hanging out, and then there's this caterpillar that starts crawling right in front of our son's face, like on the beam or something like that. He's like, guys, look, a caterpillar.
I know. We're like, no, alligators.
We're like, no, alligators. Look at the cool monster looking things.
Hundreds of bucks for our kids to get excited about caterpillars.
So.
But I'm still glad we went.
Have you ever had an experience like that at a theme park? You let us know.
Although, I had a weird experience. Because during one of the shows, there were beluga whales.
And she got all emotional.
Every time the dang beluga whale jumped out of the water, I started tearing up. I don't know what it was, but halfway through the show, I was like, oh my gosh, am I pregnant? Like, I really thought that. That's how emotional I felt.
Oh, man.
Like,
that would have not been...
I think I'm pregnant. I'm crying over whales. But I think it was just the music was really pretty.
Well, and we were really tired.
And we were super tired. But I really did have that
beluga
fear.
Beluga whales!
I know. So, that was my scare for the weekend. I didn't tell you that, but I, for like half a day, I was like, I might be pregnant.
Oh. If you would have even suggested you thought that, I don't know how the rest of the day would have went. But, so SeaWorld
was good.
Yeah, but,
in our opinion, we won't drop money like that again.
No, not...
Till they're older.
Till they're older, because the thing with SeaWorld San Antonio is different than SeaWorld...
From your memories.
California. From my memories 20 years ago. But I was expecting more, like, aquarium-type stuff to be included... I knew that there were the shows and stuff like that, but there really wasn't any. The only, like, animal stuff was the shows, and then they had rides, like roller coasters and all sorts of rides like that. And we're like, oh, so we went on a couple of kid rides and the kids had fun doing that. But I was just like, oh, I think we should have waited until our kids were like tweens or teenagers.
Yeah.
Then we all would have went on the big roller coaster rides for, and I think maybe gotten a little bit more bang for our buck.
Yeah. So we drop almost $300.
Yeah.
And we saw two shows and rode like three rides. Yep. Little rides that lasted like 2 minutes. But to me, it was worth it because I love whales.
The shows were really cool, though.
But 2 days later, we go to the San Antonio Zoo, which is like a fourth of that price. And it was like magic. It was like walking into Neverland for our kids.
The San Antonio Zoo. If you haven't been to the San Antonio Zoo, it is pretty amazing. I mean, only one zoo that I've been to has been better, and that's the San Diego Zoo. But that's like known for being like the best zoo ever. But the San Antonio Zoo was really nice. I liked it a lot.
But it was frustrating because tickets to SeaWorld was like $50 a person, and the San Antonio Zoo was like $15 a person, and they enjoyed it way more.
Way more.
We even spent longer time there.
Like probably like 3 or 4 hours longer.
Yeah. So that was frustrating. But you live and you learn. Next time, we're just going to do the zoo.
Just going to do the zoo or something else.
But stories from the zoo is I packed a diaper bag with a change of clothes for every kid. But the day before, I used that change of clothes for our baby, Jackson. And so I forgot to restock
his clothes. Although
my sister-in-law swears she remembers me telling you to put clothes in, so yeah. I just thought I'd throw that out.
Whatever.
There. So halfway through the zoo, we pick up Jack, and he
was soaked.
He is drenched from excess body fluid.
So we're like, okay, well, I went to go. I went and changed his diaper, and I was just like, We need to put him in pants. His pants are soaked. And so we're like, we don't have pants for him. Oh, wait. The 3-year-old has these heart shorts. So what did we do? We put our almost 2-year-old boy in heart shorts.
Hot pink heart shorts.
Yeah. And he was rocking them the rest of the day.
I know. So most of our pictures have him in these shorts. He's going to look back and be like, what are you doing to me?
But the cool thing about Jackson, though, that day, though, is we expected him to be in the stroller a lot, but I don't think we used the stroller like most of the day except to like hold stuff.
Yeah.
He was like a trooper.
I think we need to stop packing it. It fills up the whole back of the car and we never use it.
I know.
So frustrating.
Yeah, let's not even do it anymore.
So anyway, the zoo was great.
It was awesome.
So exciting. And my family that we went to visit had memberships.
A membership pass.
And so they brought all of their cups and popcorn buckets, and we could fill it all for a dollar. Like, each thing was a dollar. So at SeaWorld, we didn't eat anything. We didn't even eat lunch because we didn't want to walk all the way back out to our car.
Yeah.
But here, we had snacks the whole time, and we had soda, and it was just perfect.
It was nice. It was a good day.
What was funny, though, is while Barry was refilling our drinks, we were all looking at these birds, and all of a sudden, this little boy, he reaches into the cage. He was like 2, reaches into the cage, and this bird just dive bombs from the other side of the pen, dive bombs in, and just nips him right on the finger. It was like total. I wish I would have been filming.
Probably thought it was food.
I know, it was like a little worm, and so he goes out screaming, and it was nice because there are some parents that would be like, he's going to get rabies, you know, just crazy. And the mom just was like, well, now you know not to put your fingers in a cage.
That's right.
And I felt proud of her. I was like, good answer. Good answer. Stranger lady.
Stranger lady.
Like, he was crying and she just like just brushed it off. Whatever. You just got bitten by a bird because you put your finger in there.
Yeah.
So that was good.
But the one thing that kind of stood out for the day was we were in this area that is kind of like an open caged aviary area with birds, and there was also a giant anteater, which was really cool. But all of a sudden I just see this bird like above us, like on a ledge, and he has this mouthful of, like, meat, bone, and feather. This other bird was just totally ripping apart this other bird. And I was just like, whoa, that bird's eating a bird! And everyone's like, what? And everyone, like, turns away from, like, the actual attraction.
Yeah, because this was a regular bird, not a zoo bird.
I don't know. It could have been a zoo bird. I don't know. But it was, like, it was some type of predator bird, and it was just, like, going to town.
It had this, like, bloody, dangly thing, and it had feathers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the bloody thing had feathers. So it was a bird eating a bird, and all of our kids are watching it like, what is that?
And I was like, it's a bird eating a bird, kids.
It's nature.
That's how it is.
That's real nature.
That's how it works. So survival of the fittest.
You know, everyone turned away from all the cool stuff to watch the bird eating a bird.
That was the cool thing.
Like, oh, it's kind of creepy.
So.
But it's funny.
Or the meerkats, or the mongooses.
Mini mongooses.
The mini mongooses wiping their butts on the glass.
I know. My sense of humor dropped to, like, a five-year-old.
Like,
these things were so funny.
They would run up to the glass, and they would turn their little bottoms towards us, and then they would, like, shove them up to the window, and then they'd, like, streak it down the window. And it was like... And then we asked a person, and he's like, yeah, they're marking their territory. But there was, like, dozens of them doing it.
It really looked like they were insulting us.
Yeah, like, it's like, you're like, yeah, look at my bum. I taunt you.
I know. So I really laughed way too hard. I'm seeing that harder than I should have as an adult, but that's okay.
That's okay. We need a good laugh every once in a while.
So the trip was awesome.
It was.
But take our advice. Don't spend lots of money on a thing your kids aren't going to appreciate. Just show them a caterpillar at a park.
Yeah.
And do the cheaper stuff. But, so we got back home, and that time we got home late for our kids. We got home at, like, 11.
Yes, because we left later in the day.
But we were already planning on sending our kid, our oldest, to school.
The next day.
And that was dumb. We should have just excused him, but we'd already taken off enough school, so he wakes up...
It wasn't that bad. Like, he's had worse mornings compared to this one, but...
Well, he gets up and he's like, I don't want to go to school. Oh, I'm tired and blah, blah. And so, I don't know what I was thinking, but the first thing that came to mind was, hey... Oh, I remember, because we went to this discount store and he bought a new Skylander for a video game.
Yeah.
And I was like, what if you invite a friend over after school and you can play Skylanders? And then he's like, yeah... So we went to school, and then for the rest of the day, I was like, what the heck was I thinking? Because then I had to clean my house.
Yeah.
Like, after this huge long trip, and, you know, you need a vacation from your vacation.
It's true.
I should have stayed in my pajamas all day and just watched TV, but I ended up having to clean and unpack and everything just for this kid's mom to come over, just in case she came inside. And so I had to deal with that, and that was dumb. But it got him to school, so I guess it was a mom win.
There you go. Ding! And last but not least?
Last but not least, we finished a book.
Yay!
For once in our life. We've started so many novels. Well, like, a couple. Not
yeah,
too many. Not feels too like many. A lot.
Yeah.
But we've never finished one that was, like, a real story. I've read these little kitty ones to our kids that are just little chapter books. But... I read our first novel to our kids, and it ended, and it was exciting. And I actually, once again, got all teary-eyed just from finishing it. I was like, it's over. Our first book together.
My friends are gone.
No, I didn't even, like, love the story, but it was fun. That frog book, Frog Army. So that was good. That was a mom win, because I was faithful at reading to our children. Woot.
Yeah. But, yeah, so stories of the week.
Those are our stories.
So
Vacation. By the way, Lacey's good now.
Oh, yeah. She's okay. She was okay, like, by the next day. It was kind of just like a 24-hour thing.
Yeah, whatever it was.
But
I'm glad we got to spread it to everyone at SeaWorld.
Yeah.
It's like that movie, Contagion. The SeaWorld flu.
That's right. But so we had a listener of the show send us
an article
to check out, and we thought it was really interesting, so we thought we'd talk about it. And the article is kind of funny, is an article commenting on an article. So we're a podcast commenting on an article that was commenting about an article.
Isn't that how it goes, though?
Yeah. But so the title of this is 6 Things My Kids Are Allowed to Say to Adults. Now, the thing is that this person wrote this article about this other article that's called 6 Things My Kids Aren't Allowed to Say to Adults. And so this person, the first person says, you know, I don't like my kids saying these things to adults. And
the
then
first article's view is that she believes we need to teach our kids to respect authority at all times. That's really what she's saying. Like, teaching your kids to be respectful to adults.
Respectful to
adults. So I don't necessarily disagree. But this article is kind of a
slam. she takes basically saying, and everyone's entitled to their opinion, of course. We give you ours every week. But she's saying, basically, she goes over the other person's article and saying, okay, this is what they say, but this is what I say. And I think, you know, and as a normal person would, that, you know, they believe in their viewpoint to be the correct one. And but we read both of the articles so we could get both sides of the story.
And we'll post them both for you.
And yeah, we'll post links both to you so you can see the very differing of opinions. But it's also interesting. People kind of look into things and read what they want to read and get out of it. Because, like, we were reading some of the things and we're like, well, that's not what I got out of it. But this lady's like, got something totally different out of it.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind
of, she took an extremist point. Like, this is hard to talk about with the two articles. The original article, the second article lady made it seem like the first lady was super Nazi extremist.
Yeah.
And we didn't take it that way. Although we didn't agree with everything. We didn't agree with either of them too much. So let's go through it and see what we
there are things we agreed with, things we did not agree with both of them.
Yes.
So what we're going to read from is the article that the second lady wrote.
Yeah. These are things kids will say to adults.
Yeah, that she's saying that is okay to say to adults. So the first word that she says is okay to say to adults is the word no.
Yes.
So so she talks about how the other author talked about how it was the ultimate defiance towards authority, saying no. And then this lady says, I find the word no to be a hugely important word for everyone to have at his or her disposal, which is interesting because I think they both kind of agree about the same thing, but they both are, like, coming at it from different angles.
Okay.
Because what the first lady is saying, don't say no to adults. It's disrespectful. But she also mentioned in her article, but she's like, but I don't expect you to, like, say, you know, to not say no to an adult when they're, you know, touching you inappropriately or, like, telling you to go into a building or in their car or something like that. She's like, that's a totally different situation. And the second lady is kind of like the same thing. She's like, you know, she says, I think it's important that your children understand that it's okay to say no to adults when the circumstances are appropriate. But it's, what do you think?
I think what's hard about this one is this lady is talking about how no is an invaluable skill. And she says, I'm a recovering people pleaser, so I often find myself burnt out and spread too thin. Learning to say no as an adult was a huge step to protect my space, my health, and my sanity. So to her, it's important for her kids to say no, and they're welcome to do so. But to me, my kids, I do not want them to say no. Like, that's, I feel like that's really the point the first article is saying, that it is not to say
no disrespectfully. There's a difference between saying like no or no thank you, or then be like no.
Yeah. or like you're at Walmart and you say, okay, it's time to go. No, I don't want to. You know. But I think that is not something I want my kids to be.
Yeah, that's
I
not.
I don't say, okay, I respect your independence. Yeah. But your maturity.
I understand.
Yeah. No.
Be like, no, this is.
I say no to your no.
I say no to your no. But yeah, so it's just like, it's okay for kids to say no when the circumstance is appropriate. But it's also important for parents to be parents and to have that balance and that disciplining and everything, saying, well, okay, this child's saying no, but they still need to do what I asked them to do.
I think the point that we would make is that it's we want to teach our kids to use no appropriately and to have the confidence to give their opinion, but I do believe that I expect my kids to be respectful enough to know that when I ask things of them, they will say yes.
well, it's not just to us, but to their teachers or, you know, a police officer or something like that. You have to understand that there are certain situations where you submit to authority because that's the proper situation, you know. And if you say no, there are going to be consequences, you know. Yeah, you're entitled to say no whenever you want, but there will be consequences in certain circumstances. Like if you're saying no to your teacher for, you know, like, no, I'm not going to do my assignment. Well, okay. A consequence would be like, okay, boom, you fail this assignment. Or you get sent to the principal's office.
Agreed.
Or something like that. Or if you say no to a police officer, you are entitled to say that, but he will probably handcuff you and throw you in the back of his car for, you know, being a punk.
Yeah. And I think all of these, there's good and there's bad.
Yeah. Well,
which is dumb because I feel like they both took a really extreme point of view.
Well, and like we say, and we've said on previous shows, is you need to find a healthy balance in the middle. You can't be all the way on one side and all the way on the other side.
Well, and we've talked about this before with fake choices.
Yeah.
That's a pitfall that we fall into is I think you get frustrated with your kid saying no when you expect him to do it. But usually we're presenting it as a choice. Like, will you go brush your teeth? And then when they say no, you get mad. And you're like, well,
you have to brush your teeth
and
anyway.
So I think that's really is as parents, we need to be aware of what is an actual choice and what is expected of our kids. And I think that'll help weigh down the no. So watch how you're asking or requesting things. They need to say, like, if you actually want them to have a choice, then saying no is okay. But if it's something they have to do, like go to bed or brush your teeth or whatever you want, then they cannot say no. They need to learn that that's just part of life.
Yep.
So moving on.
All right. So the second thing that, depending on which article you read, is you can or cannot say to an adult is the phrase, just a minute.
Just a minute.
Just a minute. So the first person was saying that she thinks it's very inappropriate and rude to tell her, especially as a parent, that when she asks them to do something, that they say, just a minute. Now, and then the second article talks about how, you know, it's okay to say just a minute because we need to be respectful of our children's time as much as we would be respectful of anyone else's time.
Yeah.
So
I do like how she said, our kids didn't choose to come to Earth. We brought them here and then we expect them to just be at our beck and call or be our perfect little military kids.
Yeah.
When they're still figuring it out. But
I liked what the first article lady said too, when she said, you know, if your child says just a minute, maybe you'd say, you know, you go about it in a different way where you ask them, like, if they're reading a book or they're doing something, they're in the middle of doing something. Sometimes it is, I don't know, rude, I guess, to make your child stop when they're in the middle of doing something. But then you'd say, okay, well, as soon as you're done finishing that, you know, when you're, you know, finish that chapter you're reading in your book, then do this. But the first article also talks about, but there are situations where even that they need to stop whatever they're doing and come help me, or, you know, we're leaving. So there's not a just a minute. Let's go. But the second article, she was just like saying it's okay for them to say just a minute because we need to be.
Now, this one's hard because I've recognized in my life that with my kids, like, usually we let Grayson, after he finishes his homework, he can play a video game until dinner. So, like,
just, or watch a show or something.
But usually, yeah, it's usually dinner or show. And what happens is I'm done with dinner, so it's time to eat. So I'll just say, turn off, it's time to eat. And
without, like, prepping him.
Yeah, and that just makes everyone unhappy because they'll be like, wait, it's almost over. I'm like, no, it's dinner. But what it is it's another thing with the no. I feel like I need to train myself to say, hey, dinner will be ready in 5 minutes. So just know in 5 minutes, we're going to turn it off.
Kind of going off of that, we did something in the car today that we've never done. We went on a little drive today where it was a 2-hour drive to a town. And what we did is our kids like to play the iPad, and we only have one. And so...
Only have one. Poor us.
First world problems. Only one iPad. No, but what we did is we set a 15-minute
timer
on our phone. And we said, okay, you guys get 15 minutes. And then when the timer went off, they're like, okay, you're 15 minutes up. It's time to share and give it to the next person. And wow.
I know. It was amazing.
It like worked really well. There was no fighting or anything.
Usually there is like, they won't give it to me.
Or they had a longer time than I did. Yeah. Now it's like, nope, you had 15 minutes. They had 15 minutes.
No, it was
and so
genius.
It's just like, they just kept passing it back and forth every 15 minutes. And, you know, and it gives, and that gave them enough time to play like a round or two in their favorite game on the iPad. And so it's maybe just kind of like the just a minute thing where you prep your kids, be like, okay, I just want to let you know that dinner is going to be ready in 10 minutes. And in 10 minutes, I expect everyone to stop what they're doing and come eat dinner. Or
yeah,
we are going to be leaving the house in 10 minutes. Everybody get what they need. And then we're leaving.
I feel like a lot of the problems these people are having in the articles is because it's all on the kids. When it really is how we need to change our behavior to help our kids.
Because our kids are kids.
Yeah. I'm learning that. And also, I'm the queen of just a minute. But not just a minute. I always say, just a sec. I'll be there in a sec. Or I'll help you in a sec.
And then the other day.
And finally, my 5-year-old, she came out to me and she's like, how long is a sec? And I realized, like, it's like 10 minutes.
It's like my own personal duration of time.
I know, or sometimes it's more like, well, it's kind of an amount of time that I'm just hoping you'll forget that I told you I'd help you. So,
whoops.
So I realized that my time to me is like, I value my time, so I should let my kids be able to have just a minute too.
Yeah.
Like, I never just, okay, I'm dropping this so I can help you. It's always just a sec. Although yeah. I need to be better. Everyone needs to be better.
Yeah.
Moving on.
So the next word that the two articles talked about was, yeah. So the first article, she said, opinions on this may vary depending on your geographical location. She said, but where I'm from, it's incredibly disrespectful to answer an adult with anything but yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, ma'am, and no, sir. She says, my kids will definitely be corrected if they answer with a flippant yeah in response to any question. So
this is hard. We're pretty casual.
And the thing is, like, the second article lady, I kind of agree with her a little bit more on this one, is as long as I get, like, an affirmative response from my child and I know that they're, like she says... she's like, if they want to answer me in the affirmative, yeah, yes, yep, yep, uh-huh, or right on, she says, it all works for me. And I don't think I have a problem with my kids saying, you know, if I ask them, hey, did you guys do that? And they're like, yeah, I'm okay with that because...
they responded!
and they responded positively. But it's also... And we currently live in the South. And it's kind of weird when people say yes sir, yes ma'am to me, or yes sir to you, yes ma'am to me. Dang it, I'm mixing up my words. You know what I mean. But it makes me feel old, I guess. I don't know. It's just,
I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
It's kind of weird.
Although our son, he started first grade, and right away his teacher taught them that you say
yes ma'am,
and no sir. And he came home, and I didn't know they were teaching this. And I asked him to do something. He's like, yes ma'am. And I just stopped, and I was like, are you mocking me? Like, it sounded so rude. And he's like, what? No. And every time he did it, like, yes, ma'am. It always just sounded like, like, yeah, I'm. It just sounded insulting. And I always had to stop and be like, are you being serious? And my son, I've done it like 7 times. He's always like, yeah. I'm like, okay. I don't know. I'm just not used to that. But in their argument, in their defense, I do think that we're a pretty lazy society, and we're losing respect for our elders.
Getting too casual in our talking?
Yeah, I think so. So I think there's a line where we need to teach our kids to be respectful to adults, but I don't know if that means yes, ma'am.
I think it's different, sir. Though. Like if my kids were talking to, like, their boss or...
Our kids have bosses.
Or, you know what I mean, when they get older. Or, like, an officer of the law or something like that. I would expect them to hopefully say yes, sir, to them. Or yes, ma'am. But, you know, when I'm just asking them if they did something around the house.
Yeah.
I'm
mom. I'm not ma'am.
I'm not, I'm your dad. And I expect you to be respectful towards me, but I don't expect you to call me sir. Because that makes me feel like I'm a drill sergeant.
I don't know. But I do. I think talking to strangers, I say ma'am and sir.
See, but that's respectful because you're not on... I think what I'm trying to say is using the phrase yeah is more of a familiarity of the person... any, like, relative or friend that you have. You're on that familiar basis with them, so you're kind of... You can be more casual in your conversation with them.
Yeah.
But when you're meeting strangers or dignitaries or officers or anyone or teachers or anything, you do need to be more respectful. So I guess I would expect a yes, sir, yes, ma'am in those situations.
Yeah. Like, I'm torn. Here's my torn thing is I still haven't decided if I want my kids to call my friends by their first name or by their last name.
Yeah.
I have some friends that are like, oh, just call me Sarah or Julie. And other ones are like, my kids call me Mrs. Smith or whatever. So that's what I'm torn because I want my kids to have that respectful attitude. I don't know. That's a hard one.
Yeah.
I want to know what people think.
So the next phrase, so the number 4 phrase is, I don't want to. So... I don't know. You go first on this one.
Okay. Well, basically, you ask your kid to do something, and they say, I don't want to. And this person says, there's times in our life, even as adults, when we don't want to do things, and it's empowering to be able to say, I don't want to. And that's really her viewpoint, but I don't know if I agree with this.
So...
That's, like, cringeworthy when my kids are, I don't want to.
Well, And the thing is, like, these articles seem to, like, cover a blanket over, like, it's an all-encompassing type of thing. But I think it just really depends on the situation each time.
I know, because if my kid, if I wanted them to try something new and they said, I really don't want to do this, I'd be like, okay, that's fine, because we've been through that.
Yeah.
But if I said, clean your room, and they're like, I don't want to, then
that's different.
Tough cookies. Clean it.
Yeah, it was just like, well, and it's just like, I know you don't want to, but unfortunately, we have responsibilities. Well, not unfortunately, but we have responsibilities and we need
to
do
that. Hate
to
break it to you, but life isn't fair.
That's right. Enjoy it.
And that's something we read in the first article that I disagree with, but I do it, is she said... Like, she asks the kid, it was like fold laundry or something, and the kid says, I don't want to do that. And she said, well, I don't like cooking dinner, but that's just something I have to do.
I don't want to cook dinner right now, but I'm doing it. And then we're like, yeah, I don't think... That goes back to one of our previous episodes where we talked about destructive communication.
It's like telling your kid, well, I don't want to serve you either, so...
Like, I don't...
Sorry.
Yeah, so...
I just want to read books and eat bonbons all
so
day.
In that situation, if your kid says, I don't want to, it's not like you come back at them and saying, well, I don't want to do this either, but we need to. That's kind of like... I don't know.
And I've fallen into that.
It's kind of like falling down to their... maturity level.
I know. I've said before, like, when I ask them to clean, they're like, I don't want to. And I say, well, I don't want to clean up your mess, but I have to do it every day. Or I don't want to fold daddy's clothes, but I do it anyway. You know, I've said that to them.
And I appreciate it, honey.
I'm just saying, it's, I want my kids to grow up seeing me enjoy what I do and enjoy doing things for them. So I hate saying that. That's something I need to work on. So, I don't want to is a phrase I hate, and I think there's a place to say it, but it's not when they're being asked to do something important.
I think if a child says, I don't want to, we should treat it as an opportunity to have a conversation about it rather than just exploding at them.
And don't throw it around like, well, I don't want to either.
Yeah, don't come back with them and be like, I don't want to do this either, but we have to because... That goes back to our destructive communication.
Turn in Mary Poppins. Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
Oh, no.
That was the best imitation
ever.
Of Mary Poppins.
All right. Phrase number 5. I don't like this. So.
This one's.
It's interesting because the first article was talking about food, you know, and giving your children food. And the kind of what I got out of it, her, is just like, my children will eat what I have for them.
She's one of those people that...
And if they don't eat it...
Don't eat it, it's in the fridge and you have it for breakfast.
You have it for breakfast in the morning. And she's like, yeah, I don't think... Because then the second article talks about how, you know, we as adults have things that we don't like.
Like lettuce, barfy pants, pickles.
And so why should we make our children... eat things that they don't like when we as adults don't eat things we don't
like.
Yeah,
when we can specifically order things not on our plate at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But we don't let our kids not eat something at home.
So something that I heard from a different parenting podcast that unfortunately they're no longer around. But she said that what I like my kids to do is she's like, I usually when I prepare dinner, I know I will always have at least one or two items a part of dinner that I know my kids will eat and like. And she's like, and sometimes I have something new. And so she says, what I want them to do is I tell them, especially if they have the attitude like, I don't like this. She's like, well, what I want you to do is I want you to take a no thank you bite. That's what she calls them. So I want you to take a bite. I want you to chew it and I want you to swallow it. And then she's like, and then after that, if it just totally is disgusting to you, then I'm not going to force you to eat it. But this will also, you know, that's why she plans to have one or two items that they do like. And then you could just eat those things. And the first article lady kind of says that too, where she says, you know, well, you don't like green beans. Okay, I won't force you to eat green beans. Maybe you can have more salad to compensate for that.
But her point is that some parents will make a completely different meal to pacify their children.
And I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that either.
And so if our kids won't eat anything that's provided for them, then we tell them, okay, you go look in the fridge and you make yourself something to eat.
And our 5-year-old does that all the time.
So whether that's...
Like a couple times a month, she'll go to the fridge and get some fresh fruit and a yogurt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, there you go.
Or a bowl of cereal or something.
So I think I don't like this. It's okay to say, but I am not going to...
bend over backwards to accommodate
like,
for
I
your
made family dinner.
Sophisticated palate.
And I tend to make foods that everyone likes. At least something on the table, but but deal with it. Do what you need to do to make your to fill your tummy, but I'm not doing it for you.
Yeah.
Last one. We're finally getting to the end here.
Go ahead.
Is nothing.
Nothing. That's the... So it's not like they're saying nothing. It's more that they're doing nothing.
Yeah. So the first article says, when an adult speaks to my children, hiding behind mama and refusing to speak is not acceptable behavior. And the second article is saying, what? They should be able to do what they want. If they're uncomfortable, then what's it? How is it our job to make them more uncomfortable by talking?
Well, and she says that it's their body, their voice, their choice. And so it's just kind of like, yeah, well, I agree and disagree, because I think it's important for children to learn how to speak with adults, especially, let's take for an example, what if your child was lost? Mm-hmm. And your child has that attitude of never talking to an adult. Well, they're not going to automatically all of a sudden break out of their shell and go talk to an adult just because they're lost. So that's an extreme example, but...
Well, and I feel like if someone does something nice, like holds the door open or gives something to my kid...
Or compliments them.
I expect my children to say thank you, because I want them to recognize that I think thank you and please and all that stuff super important.
But we also don't make them awkwardly stand there and wait to have them say it. Like, if someone compliments them or do something, be like, what do you say, guys? And we've trained, I guess...
I think we've trained them pretty well.
We've trained our kids well enough that, like...
In this part.
That they're like, thank you, or...
But our five-year-old is super shy. And I've never forced her to, like, well, just get in there and say something.
Yeah.
And I think she's totally cool with that. Yeah. And I'm cool with that. But I do expect her to say thank you.
Yeah.
If someone does something.
Well, if someone does something specifically for her or us, we expect our children to acknowledge that adult, at least as a thank you or something like that.
Yeah, so I guess I feel like we've been pretty in between.
We're right in the middle. We're a balance.
Yeah.
Balance, like, restore.
And like the article that we've been focusing on that's saying these are things that my kid will say to adults. She said, I'm not raising robots. These are human beings. This is a relationship we're forming here, not boot camp. So I don't know. I don't feel like raising robots.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think she was taken wrong. Her article was blown out of proportion. We don't agree with everything of either of them, so...
But like we say for our show, it's important for everybody to study, to learn, and to... It's all about... Parenting's all about trial and error. Find out what works for you, and then work. And if that works, then do it.
Yeah. Even if other people tell you it's not how it's done. If it works for you, then stick with it.
Well, and every child is different. You can't parent every single child the same way. That's just not how it works.
Yeah. And every parent is different.
Every parent's different.
Like, I'm not a crazy Nazi mom.
So, yeah.
That doesn't work for me. So...
Thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting... Talking's hard, too. But parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way, like we've been saying.
That's right.
Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter at The Clown Car, and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe.
Subscribe.
You always do that, and you don't do it this time. Rate and review,
our
show on iTunes. And until next time, enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.